Welcome to Dig Deep, the mining podcast. In this podcast, we go deep into mining news, hot topics, and live interviews with mining professionals and leading figures in the mining industry. Introducing your host, Rob Tyson, founder and director of Mining International and Mining International Executive, a leading global mining recruitment and headhunting agency.
Hi, mining community. Welcome back to another episode of the Dig Deep, the Mining Podcast. And today's guest is Jules Bennett, who's the CEO of Rainbow Rare Earths, who aimed to be a front runner in the establishment of an independent and ethical supply chain of rare earth elements that are driving the green energy transition with projects in South Africa, East Africa, and Brazil. Jules has over 25 years experience in mining, finance, and management, leading a number of mining companies, including Shanta Gold and OreCorp, and has also established a company called DMD Engineering, who built mineral processing plants and mine infrastructure before selling the company to Foster Wheeler. He's going to talk about Rainbow Rare Earths, and what they've achieved to date and what the company is going to do in the future. So let's welcome George to the podcast. How are you doing, George?
I'm very good, thank you. And thanks for hosting me.
No, I appreciate your time as well. And wondered how, obviously, as we always start these podcasts off, and I know you're an active listener, just wondered if you can just tell us a little bit about yourself, about your career. Obviously, I mentioned that you managed a few different mining companies and an engineering firm. So just wondering if you can give our audience an overview of your career.
Well, I'm glad to, and I'm glad you asked the question, because I believe, especially with junior mining companies, you need to back the management team, because at the end of the day, they are going to be key to making sure you can deliver on what you set out and as a company. And just to talk a little bit about my background, I was a stockbroker and investment banker for many years here in South Africa. I was a partner in one of the largest and highly rated stockbroking and corporate advisory firms called HSBC, and we successfully sold that to HSBC in 1998. So that was a good sort of end to that part of my career. Well, I was locked in for 3 years as a partner, and then I stayed for another 2 years with HSBC on the board of HSBC before I resigned in 2003. I ended up my career in banking, doing some mining corporate finance and heading up mining research sales, which obviously gave me a bit of a background in the mining space. I then, for my sins, I got approached to take a private company called Shanta Gold, a gold exploration business in Tanzania, and to become CEO of this business. Now, I wasn't a geologist or knew much about exploration per se, but using my background in mining, I knew the roadmap for this company, and I took it from 300,000 ounces to 1 million ounces. And then I listed it successfully in 2005 in London. And this has been a very successful exploration play, because we've got two operating gold mines to date. And as I'm sure you and your listeners know, over 95% of all exploration projects globally come to naught. So that was a successful company I was involved with. And then out of that, I got the opportunity to start a bankrupt mining engineering business called MDM. This had gone into liquidation in 2006. I refinanced it with a partner and restarted the company as MDM Ferroman. I renamed it MDM Engineering. And with some core technical guys from that business, I restarted the company and successfully listed it in London in 2008. Very importantly, the main guy in MDM, a guy called Dave Dodd, the D in MDM, he was also with me at the new company. And over Dave's career, he's designed and built over 80 process plants across a range of mining operations globally, and he's done over 200 feasibility studies in his career. With me at MDM Engineering, Dave and I designed and built 22 mines around the world, or process plants if you want, and did over 40 feasibility studies. So I learned a huge amount in this engineering business. I paid a dividend every 6 months, which was quite key, because the reason why I could pay a dividend every 6 months is because I was profitable every year I was listed as MDM Engineering, and all my projects we executed were on budget, and I'm glad to say on time. So I sold that successfully to Amick Foster Wheeler in late 2014. I spent 3 years with them to deliver my pipeline of projects that I'd sold to Amick Foster Wheeler, and I then resigned. And a short while later, I got approached to join Rainbow Rare Earths and take over Rainbow Rare Earths, where I helped refinance it in late 2019 and got involved with Rainbow. I also, during this time, helped seed and raise capital for a company called OreCorp, a gold exploration business also in Tanzania. And also, we ended up finding a very successful project in Tanzania called Nyanzaga. And I'm pleased to say that OreCorp has just successfully been bid for by Silvercorp. So that's been a good trade that I was involved with and helped list OreCorp in Australia. So I've kind of been involved in a few projects and development, designed and built with the team at MDM, a lot of process plants and mine infrastructure around the globe. And I'm pleased to say that Dave is with me at Rainbow as my key technical director. And we've also employed at Rainbow Chris LaRue. He was the chief metallurgist at Goldfields before I employed him at MDM Engineering. Whilst Chris was at MDM before he, and during the period when Foster Wheeler took it over, we did two rare earth feasibility studies, the Peak Resources feasibility study and the Namibian rare earth feasibility study called Lofdal. And that was also under Dave's guidance. And both those guys are with me at Rainbow with that rare earth experience. And then about 18 months ago, I employed a guy called Roo Vildenboe from Senate Engineering, another engineering company based in South Africa that successfully delivered the bankable feasibility study on the Makanga rare earths project in Malawi. And Roo also works for me at Rainbow. So I've got a very experienced team with rare earths experience in Rainbow. And this team under my guidance are basically developing the Phelophoa project here in South Africa, as well as the project we've secured in Brazil. And I'll talk about those later. So as I said, a bit of experience, a bit of success in our backgrounds and in terms of being able to deliver. And very importantly, because we've done so many feasibility studies and delivered so many projects, we understand as a team how to price projects, and make sure that we're on budget. And also during the time at MDM Engineering, Dave and myself, we designed and built two gold and uranium processing plants. And what's important in uranium processing plants, we use continuous ion exchange, which is a technology we use at Rainbow. And obviously, we understand materials of construction, because materials of construction in uranium plants are very important, because you're dealing in a very acidic environment. And in all rare earth projects, you're dealing in a very acidic environment. So we understand those environments, and we've done our whole host of feasibility studies, apart from building and executing two execution jobs in the uranium space. So all this experience we bring into bear on Rainbow's projects, and I think that bodes very well for the future and for us being able to deliver on time and on budget, as I said earlier.
So carry on.
No, I'm happy to carry on, Rob.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you giving us an overview of your career. I just wonder if you now can just give us an overview of Rainbow Rare Earths as a company. And also, sure. You're pretty strong. Obviously, you really value your team as well, and especially your management team. And I know you've mentioned a few people as well. But I wonder if you can just tell us a little bit about the company and also what the company's made up of in terms of some of the key people in the positions.
Yeah, as I mentioned, just to talk about Rainbow per se, so we are busy developing two rare earth projects where we're looking to extract rare earths out of phosphate gypsum. We do have a mothballed hard rock mining project in Burundi, as you mentioned earlier, that is currently on suspension due to renegotiation with the government about restarting that mine. The reason why the mine was suspended, all mining was suspended in Burundi 3 years ago to renegotiate the mining convention. We are busy renegotiating that convention, and we are hoping to have some news on that shortly, but I can't say any more about Burundi. But Burundi is a very, very small part of Rainbow, and going forward, it's not our focus. Our focus is on extracting rare earths out of phosphate gypsum stacks, opportunities that we see around the world. And that brings me on to Phalaborwa. So I secured the Phalaborwa project for Rainbow effectively in January 21, when we realized there's opportunity to extract rare earths that sat in the phosphogypsum stacks that are a result of phosphoric acid production up at Phalaborwa in South Africa. Now, how this comes about is that you've got a phosphate hard rock mine mining phosphate rock. The phosphate rock has got trace elements of rare earths in it, but not economic. But the company mining the phosphate rock is Phoscor in South Africa, and they produce a phosphate slurry through a flotation process, which produces a phosphate concentrate slurry. The rare earths were concentrated in the slurry and then fed to a phosphoric acid plant that was run by Sasol here in South Africa, the big chemical conglomerate, which I'm sure many of your listeners will be aware of. Sasol used the phosphate slurry, as I say, to feed their phosphoric acid plant, where they add sulfuric acid and heat as two key ingredients, plus a few other bits and pieces, and they produce phosphoric acid for their fertilizer business. In the production of phosphoric acid, you created the gypsum waste residue, and the gypsum waste residue was then deposited onto two stacks, where we've now got circa 35 million tons of gypsum residue with high-grade rare earths in the phosphogypsum. The grade of rare earths is plus minus 0.44% TREO. That stands for total rare earth oxides, which is how you measure rare earth deposits. Now, when you compare this grade to a Nani clay deposit, which is what they mine in Myanmar, and a large amount of Nani clay mining takes place in China, this is 6 to 10 times higher grade than Nani clay deposits. And in mining, grade is king, as you will have heard the term before, I'm sure. So we know that we had a very high grade acid here. And then I also looked at the makeup of the rare earth basket within the TREO content. And we had 29% neodymium praseodymium, and we had economic quantities of dysprosium and terbium. And those four elements I've mentioned to your listeners are what is known as the permanent magnet rare earth elements. And that's what all rare earth projects are chasing: neodymium, praseodymium, dysprosium, and terbium. You need less amounts of dysprosium and terbium because they protect your permanent magnets against heat that's generated when these magnets spin at high speeds in the motors. But your key elements are neodymium and praseodymium. And as I mentioned, we've got one of the higher grades of NdPr in any basket globally. The average basket has NdPr sitting at about between 20 and 23, maybe 24%. So at 29%, we're certainly one of the highest percentages in any rare earth basket. Now, if I can just footprint this for your listeners, when you mine a rare earth project, you initially produce a rare earth concentrate. Your rare earth concentrate is all 17 elements in the concentrate. And I'll use the analogy of a platinum group metals mine for your listeners. Now, when you mine in a platinum mine, you don't mine platinum per se. You mine what's known as PGMs, platinum group metals. So, and you mine and you produce your first stage is you produce a platinum concentrate, platinum group concentrate. In your platinum PGM concentrate, you've got platinum, rhodium, palladium. You normally have a bit of gold, often a bit of nickel, and sometimes some copper. So you get all these elements in your platinum group basket, which is a concentrate. Then you ship that concentrate off to a platinum smelter, which then separates as individual metals outside of your platinum basket. Similarly with the rare earth basket, when you mine it, you get all 17 elements in your basket. You produce a platinum concentrate, and then you have to send that platinum concentrate further downstream to separate the individual rare earths that you're trying to get. So at Phalaborwa, we recognize that we had, when the rare earths sitting on the on those chemical gypsum stacks are actually cracked in chemical form, because all rare earth projects, as I mentioned, you produce a rare earth concentrate, then you have to crack it, which is known in rare earth terms as cracking, as I said, and then you can go further downstream to produce a mixed rare earth carbonate, and then you go and do separated rare earth oxides. Phalaborwa, because with the production of phosphoric acid, you add a sulfuric acid and heat to that phosphate slurry that came from Foscor, we've ended up with effectively a cracked chemical stockpile. So all rare earth projects add sulfuric acid and heat to the rare earth concentrate to crack it before they go downstream. At Phalaborwa, we sit fortunately with a cracked chemicals stockpile in the form of this phosphate gypsum. And we can go straight from the phosphate gypsum into leaching the rare earths with sulfuric acid, and to produce a pregnant leach solution. And then we realize that why stop at a mixed rare earth carbonate like some rare earth projects do? We can go all the way through to separated oxides, and that's what we're doing at Phalaborwa. We're going all the way through to separated rare earth oxides. So we're much further down the line where we start our process than most rare earth projects. And that's what's driving the economics of the Rainbow projects, is that we start with a gypsum stockpile, which is cracked at Phalaborwa, and that is produced very, very good numbers for us, which when we published our PEA in October 22, we came out with exceptionally high numbers. And I can just run through these quickly for your readers. The project had an NPV of over $600 million, an IRR of over 40%, an EBITDA margin of over 75%, and basically using spot rare earth prices in October 22, we would have generated circa $190 million of EBITDA per annum on only $300 million of CapEx. So that's a very low capital intensity for a rare earth project. And as I said, the reasons being is that we've got no mining cost, we've got no crushing, no milling. We don't have to produce a platinum concentrate through flotation. We basically start with these chemical stockpiles at Phalaborwa, and we go straight into leaching and then producing a carbonate and then into a separated rare earth oxides. Our operating cost per separated kg of rare earths is one of the lowest in the world. We believe it's the lowest in the world. It's at $33.86 per kg. And that's what's driving our very, very high EBITDA margin number. Also, would like to add to our listeners that at the time of the PEA, I indicated to the market that, look, if rare earth prices halve, we would still be profitable. I didn't realize how prophetic that would become, because since then, rare earth prices have literally halved since October 22. In terms of our PEA numbers. And now we're sitting with NdPr circa $50-$55 a kg. At the time of our PEA, we used $105 or $110 a kg. So we have literally, as I've predicted, numbers have halved. But with the dysprosium and terbium being credits to our basket price, we're sitting at, right, for the Rainbow basket, we're sitting at about $75 a kg for separated oxides in our basket. And we've run the numbers recently, and that would still generate EBITDA of around about $80 million per annum of EBITDA. So for an environment where we've seen a halving of rare earth prices, we still are would be hugely profitable. And then I don't think there are many rare earth projects in development right now that can survive at current pricing of rare earths. And Rainbow, as I said, fortunately can survive for the reasons I've outlined to your listeners. Do you have any questions, Rob?
No. That's very well explained. You've obviously come a long way with obviously some outstanding news flow recently. I just wonder if you can just tell our audience what's been happening over obviously the last few months, and also any recent resource updates that you've had released recently.
Sure. Thank you. I would definitely like to inform your audience. So, you know, probably over the last 6 to 8 months, we announced a deal with Mosaic. Mosaic are a global fertilizer producer. They're about a $15 billion market cap business listed in New York. And as I said, once I secured Kalibowa, I started looking for similar assets around the world. I then pinpointed that in Brazil, there is a hard rock carbonatite being mined for phosphate rock, similar to what's been mined at Palabora. There, they produce a phosphate slurry, similar to what Foscor do at Palabora, and then they pump it into a phosphoric acid plant owned by Mosaic. And that this phosphoric acid plant produces phosphoric acid for their fertilizer business and produces a gypsum waste residue. And recognizing all these similar processes to what happened at Palabora, I then approached Mosaic and I signed the MOU with them to jointly develop extraction of rare earths out of their phosphogypsum stacks, that stack that they have in Brazil. As I indicated, I knew we would have a similar rare earth grade in the phosphogypsum at Uberaba in Brazil. And I was right in the sense that we then were able to take samples last year, and late last year announced initial results, which indicate, as I thought, that we've got a very high grade of rare earths in the Uberaba gypsum stacks. It's in fact about 30 or 40% higher grade than the Palabora. So it's, I think, running at 0.5% TREO, whereas at Palabora we're running at 0.44% TREO. So very positive. And secondly, the neodymium praseodymium and their basket is running at about 25%. So not quite as high as Palabora, but still very high for any rare earth project globally. So basically, we are doing ongoing work with Uberaba, or with Mosaic in Uberaba. In fact, the team from Brazil will be in the Rainbow offices today. We're going over some further test results that we've and they've come to see the pilot plant here in South Africa that we're currently running. So that relationship is very strong and going very well with Mosaic in Brazil. So we're very excited about the Uberaba project. It's much, much bigger than the project in Palabora by the size of the stacks. The stack, I should say, it's one stack there, but very large. And also that the fact it's an ongoing operation in Brazil, in other words, it's a live stack. They're adding, you know, some 6 million tons of fresh phosphogypsum every year to the stack. And that's a very long life project. So over 40 years. So we're very excited about Uberaba. Also last year, we announced that we'd successfully started our pilot plant in South Africa. So in South Africa, we've got a pilot plant running at Mintec, which is one of the world leaders in mining R&D in the world. It's a well-known facility. And at Mintec, we're running our front-end pilot plant is where we are successfully extracting the rare earths out of the phosphogypsum that we've shipped from site. We've also shipped stack water from site, so we're using it under the similar conditions that we'll be operating at site. And we successfully have produced mixed rare earth carbonate, which we've shipped off to KTEC in Florida, where in KTEC in Florida, they're starting to do the final stage, which is separating the rare earths out of the carbonate into the individual elements. I might add that some projects, like some of the Australian and South American projects, stop at either a mixed rare earth concentrate or a mixed rare earth carbonate. We're successfully producing a mixed rare earth carbonate in South Africa at Mintec. So that means Rainbow is really a de-risk project because, you know, their carbonate is a saleable project. But as I said, we're going further downstream to beneficiate one step further, which is to produce separated ore oxides. Now, we're doing this in Florida with a company called KTEC. KTEC's our technology partner in Florida, in America, where we are using their technology to separate the rare earth oxides. Now, typically, rare earths are separated using solvent extraction, which was developed by Solvay, the French company, in the 1950s. But since then, there have been lots of development of more improved separating technology. And we've gone with the technology developed and patented by KTEC in America. Now, KTEC patented continuous ion exchange, which is well used throughout the uranium industry. And it's a technology that Rainbow team has successfully, you know, designed and built into two uranium plants, as I mentioned earlier. So we're very comfortable with that technology. And the final step is what's known as continuous ion chromatography. And continuous ion chromatography, once again, has been developed by KTEC. It's used globally in other industries. So it's a technology that's well understood and used in other industries, but it's the first time we're using it specifically for the suite of rare earths that we are using it for at Rainbow. So even though technically it's new, it's not a new technology, as I've explained. It's used globally in other industries, sugar industry, lysine industry, biotech, and phosphate industry for that matter. And similarly, OCP in Morocco use the continuous ion chromatography technology to extract uranium and thorium out of their phosphate gypsum. So we know it successfully works on other elements. It's the first time we're trying it for the four elements at Rainbow's chasing, but we think it's largely de-risked. And the initial stage of separation that we announced earlier this year has successfully achieved about 68% purity on the first stage of NdPr. Now, we recognize that we'll have to go through at least three stages and possibly a fourth stage to get to the purity we require. But the initial separation has been very successful, which I announced last month. I think it was, or maybe late January. Any questions there?
No, all good. You talked about the need for independent supply chains across, obviously, critical metals sector. How do you see Rainbow fitting in with this broader landscape of independent supply?
Well, Rainbow at full production, which is targeting to start production towards the end of 2026, we'll be producing about between 1,850 and 2,000 tons of these four magnet rare earth oxides, which is about a third of the size of Lynas currently, which Lynas is the largest producer outside of Australia. So that gives your listeners an idea of the size Rainbow will be. So our market cap doesn't reflect where we will be in terms of relationship to MP Materials or Lynas for that matter. But being a reasonable producer, we have been targeting selling our separated oxides to independent supply chain outside of China. And that's what we're working very hard on being part of. So with that, we signed an MOU to supply LCM, which is a facility in the UK. And now LCM, it's a well-established UK business which takes separated oxides, turn it into metal, then alloy. Now, that's another part of the supply chain that then feeds the permanent magnet manufacturers. Now, they supply Lockheed Schmaltz, which is a permanent magnet manufacturer in Germany, as well as Arnold Magnets in the US and some other clients, I'm sure. But LCM, importantly, are expanding now in the US on the back of an agreement with General Motors and VAC to build a big magnet facility in Texas. And LCM are going to be supplying them, and Rainbow or have been targeted as one of the key suppliers of separated oxides to LCM. So we're very keen on trying to build this independent supply chain outside of China. And with that, the US government via the DFC, that's the Development Finance Corporation, which is effectively the sovereign wealth fund of the US government, made a commitment. They announced it at COP28 in the UAE on the 3rd of December, that they've earmarked $50 million for equity financing into the Rainbow project, so in Phalaborwa. So this is a key announcement by the DFC that they are going to become an equity partner at ProjectCo level in the Phalaborwa project in Rainbow. And this is a very, very big statement of intent by the US government to support Rainbow. We also know that they want to be involved in the debt financing of the project. We anticipate two-thirds debt in the project, so circa $100 million of equity, but already $50 million of equity has been earmarked by the US government. And they are also wanting to be, as I said, a cornerstone in the debt package for Rainbow. So we're very excited about the US government's involvement in Rainbow and them targeting Rainbow as a key project, rare earth project for the US government outside of the US to be supporting. At the mining Indaba in Cape Town last month, I had a private site visit with the US ambassador to South Africa, as well as the deputy CEO to the DFC, and they were very excited about what they saw in terms of the pilot plant here in South Africa. So that was a key announcement we've also announced within Rainbow over the last few months. And also the fact that within 2 weeks of announcing that strategic investment by the DFC, I had a congressional delegation on site just before Christmas at Phalaborwa once again showing the US's support for our project and at Phalaborwa. So very exciting for Rainbow that we've got this validation of the project, because it went through a lot of third-party due diligence before they committed to this $50 million investment. So that was on Phalaborwa itself, as well as the KTEC technology that we are using in Rainbow.
How would you summarize the value proposition of Rainbow for potential investors?
Yeah, and sorry, Rob, just there's one thing I never touched on that you asked me about, was the resource update. Also, yeah, last month we announced that the resource tonnage has gone from 30 million tons to 35 million tons, giving Rainbow just over two more years of project life. So the project life has gone from 14 to 16 years now, which is more than enough for a mining project. We're not a mining project per se, we're actually a chemical processing project, but which is now a very good life for the project. A lot of mining projects stop the NPV at 10 years life, but we had now 16 years. And then the Brazilian project gives Rainbow, as I said, a project that's got a 40 year plus life. So we've got project diversification as well as country diversification, which is also a good from looking at the risk element of Rainbow. So we've diversified our risk as well. In terms of a value proposition, as I said, if we look at forecast rare earth prices when we come into production, which is late 2026, the market is talking about rare earth pricing recovering to be between $80 a kg for NdPr and $100, $110 a kg for NdPr. At those forecast prices, we know that we are highly profitable. We're looking at, as I said, circa $190 to $200 million of EBITDA per annum, and that'll be on the capex spend of sub $300 million, around about $295, or call it $300 million. So with those capital numbers, I'm still forecasting that we'll be within that range. As I say, having costed over 22 process plants for clients in the past at MDM Engineering, I'm confident that we'll meet those numbers. And that means that as a value proposition, we will still be very highly, highly profitable when we come into production in 2026. I'm very excited. And if you look at forecast numbers beyond 2026, if you look at circa 2030, which is only sort of three odd years later, when we're in full production, we're forecasting to be generating $300 million of EBITDA per annum. So that's very, very strong for, and we'll be paying strong dividends. As I mentioned, my previous company, MDM Engineering, I was a big fan of paying out dividends, and I anticipate Rainbow will be a massive dividend payer once we start production 2 to 3 years out.
So what's next for Rainbow? What are the milestones for the company for the remainder of the year?
So the key milestone now is the final successful separation of individual rare earth oxides out of our back-end pilot plant at KTEC in Florida. And we're expecting there's been a slight delay due to the Christmas, a holdup over Christmas at KTEC with getting some of the equipment set up correctly. So that's completed now. And we're now forecasting, as I said, we've announced initial separation, but final separation we're expecting in the next quarter, which is, as I say, the second quarter of this year. We are expecting further updates on the Uberaba project in Brazil, which we're very excited about. We're expecting very positive updates on Uberaba. And then we will anticipate completing the definitive feasibility study at the end of 2026. I'm sorry, end of 2024, beginning of 2025.
And lastly, is there anything else that you would like to add? Obviously, you gave a very detailed content around obviously Rainbow and what your intentions are. Is there anything else that you would like to add? Our audience are mainly from people from the mining industry around the globe. So I just wonder if you had any final thoughts.
Just two sort of key points which I should have covered with Rainbow is that one is the strategic nature of rare earths from a defense point of view. For your audience, Rob, every American F-35 fighter jet, for example, has 420 kilograms of rare earth elements in it per jet. It's almost half a ton of rare earth elements. Night vision goggles require rare earth elements in them. Your heat-seeking missiles, your missile guidance systems, all have rare earth elements in them. Your Abram tanks have permanent magnets. So from a strategic military point of view, this is also one of the reasons why America wants an independent supply chain outside of China, with the geopolitics that are currently in going on around the world, and specifically between China and the US. So, and then lastly, the green credentials of the Phalaborwa project. These are waste residue stacks. We're cleaning up the acid water associated with these stacks from the phosphoric acid production. We're then producing a clean benign gypsum, which we placing on a new lined stack site. And so eventually all this phosphor gypsum that sits there currently will be on lined stack sites. Currently these stacks are unlined because 60 years ago when they were started, there wasn't a requirement for lining anywhere in the world for lining tailings or stacks of this nature. And then lastly, we're going to be selling the phosphor gypsum into the South African gypsum market, which is not in my numbers yet. And that, so eventually over a period of time, some 40 odd years, those gypsum cells will eventually see the gypsum at Phalaborwa completely level with the ground, and it will be a 100 cleanup and rehabilitation. So I personally think it's the cleanest rare earth project in the world from a green credentials point of view. Thank you, Rob.
I think the opportunity in Rainbow is, as I say, is largely driven by our low cost of production that we'll see out of Phalaborwa. We believe we're the lowest OPEX cost of any project in the world, even below the Chinese, apparently. And Uberaba, we believe, will deliver similar low OPEX, but it's a far bigger opportunity, as I said, in terms of size and volume. So when those numbers get announced, the market should start giving Rainbow value for that. And then also in this current pricing environment, as I say, we've run our numbers and we know that we would still be profitable. And just to touch on the current pricing environment, we've seen pricing from our PEA come off 50% in rare earth prices. And that's been driven largely by, we believe, four things. One is there's been a slowdown in electric vehicle take-up in China as well as Europe. We believe that the subsidies will have to come back in from European and even US governments to drive this take-up of EVs if we're going to meet the emission targets everyone's talking about in 2050. There's no ways we can meet those emission targets without much, much stronger take-up of EVs, which will be driven by legislation. So I believe that's going to come back quite strongly. We've also seen a slight slowdown in wind turbine generation. Once again, that will have to pick up quite strongly to meet those demands. And then thirdly, construction sector in China collapsed with the collapse of their property and housing market. And all air conditioners in China require permanent magnet motors in them. And so we've seen a slowdown in air conditioners in the Chinese construction industry. Once again, all three of those areas we see picking up, which will drive demand for permanent magnets. And that'll pick up pricing. But the last reason I believe why prices are weak is also a bit of Chinese manipulation. You know, we know the Chinese, we've seen it in the lithium price, and I'm sure we've seen it in the rare earth pricing, but they can only manipulate the market for so long. And we anticipate rare earth pricing recovering, as I mentioned, towards the end of this year and early next year, back to similar levels we saw in our PEA. So I think very positive outlook for Rainbow for those reasons. Thank you.
Yeah, George, really appreciate your time. Thank you for giving us a good overview of Rainbow Rare Earths. You've obviously got a lot of going on. You've obviously had a lot of success in the past, and no doubt you're going to be successful with this, and wish you well for the remainder of this year. Perhaps you want to come onto the podcast later this year or next year to give us an update.
I would love to get the opportunity to give your listeners an update on your podcast. And I really thank you once again for your time and also giving Rainbow the opportunity to tell your listeners about Rainbow and where we are and the exciting news going forward.
Yeah, certainly. And if our audience wants to obviously follow Rainbow, how can they go about doing that? Do you advertise and put content out on certain social media channels?
Tara, if you just want to answer that, I think we do, obviously our website's very up to date with all our announcements. I might add that, you know, our PEA is fully disclosed on our website.
you go to some other websites, mining companies, it's quite difficult to get detail. We are very proud of the quality of our PEA, and it's all there in all the detail, as well as all our announcements and our resource and so forth. So that's regularly updated on our website. And we regularly do RNSs, which are distributed. And I think social media does cover those, Tara.
Yes, yeah. Rainbow can be found on LinkedIn and on Twitter.
Yeah, great. And we can include those in the show notes of companies anyway, so for easy access. So really appreciate your time, George, again, and wish you well for the remainder of the year.
Thank you, Rob.
No worries. Thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed that episode. Obviously, rare earths, very important moving forward. And obviously, George gave a good account of Rainbow Rare Earths and what they're looking to achieve in the future. So please share this episode far and wide. Share this with people within our industry, but also people outside of our industry. We need to improve the brand of mining. And George will, and obviously George and this content obviously helps with that. So as always, appreciate your continued support. Until next time, happy mining.
Thank you for listening. Remember to reach out to Rob via the show notes and be sure to subscribe and leave a review. Until next time, happy mining, helping each other to improve the mining industry.